Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Romans this morning, the book of Romans, chapter 2 this morning. Romans chapter 2. We're going to read two verses this morning, verse 3 and 4 out of Romans 2. As you're finding your place, if you'd stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God, if you're able this morning, if you're not, please remain seated. Completely understandable. But for those that can and willing, in honor of the Bible, please stand as we read it together. Romans chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, beginning at verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this passage. Now, we pray for thy Holy Spirit power on our pastor as he comes and preaches to us. We need to hear from heaven today, and we need thy Holy Spirit on his life as he preaches to us. But, Father, we need that same Holy Spirit to help us hear what we need to this morning. God, do a work in our lives and our hearts. And Father, if there's somebody in the room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room or on the internet that they would settle that this morning. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I'm going to ask that you sit very still and listen very carefully. I know it is hard to pay attention in church because of your need to play Pokemon Go. So just bear with us for a few minutes. How many know what that is, Pokemon Go? You heard about Pokemon Go? Okay. How many play Pokemon Go? Put your hand up in there. Who knows does? Come on. Don't lie in church. How many play Pokemon Go? Put your hand up. 4 or 5. Good. It's always good to have the retarded with us. We appreciate that very much. And special needs. Special needs. I got to say special needs. That has nothing to do with the sermon, but I had to make fun of it this morning because it's amazing, isn't it? Okay, let's talk about what God uses to bring us to repentance. He's used whales before. Jonah got away from God and God stopped him in order to stop this preacher who ran from God. God had him swallowed by a whale. It did stop him. And Jonah did repent. I like that 4 chapters of Jonah in the Old Testament when he was swallowed by the whale and the Bible says, and Jonah prayed. I'd pray too if I woke up in a whale. And I'd get right with God too if I wasn't right with God. God's used donkeys. Yeah? Balaam, another preacher who was going where he shouldn't go, doing what he shouldn't be doing. He's riding his donkey along the road and all of a sudden the donkey just stops. Balaam whips the donkey with a stick. It goes on a little further and then the donkey crushes his foot into a wall. And he hits him again and keeps riding the donkey. And after a minute, the donkey just drops. Balaam gets out and starts to beat that donkey with his staff, with his stick. And the Bible says, now listen to this. The Bible says the donkey talked to him. You hear donkeys talking all the time. It's an election year. What amazes me about Balaam's donkey is he's beating the donkey while it's talking to him. And said, if I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you. And the donkey says, why? I never did this before. And he's standing there talking to a donkey. It never went like, oops, my donkey's talking to me, who never talked to me before. By the way, if animals talk to you, you need medication. Now, here's the thing. So he's used whales. He's used donkeys. He's used storms. Disciples out in the ship in the storm. He's used storms. Catastrophes. Use invading armies to get his children's attention. Now look here. But in Romans 2 and verse 4, it makes a simple statement. Not knowing that, look here now, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I understand chastisement. I understand catastrophes. I understand difficulties. I understand troubles. I understand those things God has used in my life to get me to wake up because I was going the wrong way. Repentance means you're going this way. And you turn around and go God's way. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That's something we don't often think of as a repenting tool, is it? But it is, and it ought to be. I think we ought to be realistic and understand that if you don't do what God wants you to do, He'll get in your life. He will. That's why most people, when they get saved because of a difficulty in their life or a trouble they're having in their life, because otherwise they wouldn't even pay attention. By the way, that's not bad. That's good. Well, that proves as you're smart. People who say, well, I'm not going to get my heart right. I'm not going to get saved because I'm having trouble. That's just the wrong way to go about it. No, that's a smart way to go about it. See, in 37 years of ministry, I don't recall ever meeting anyone who said, I got saved because I realized God was so good in my life. I don't know as I've met many Christians, to be honest with you, if any, who said, you know what, I got sideways with the Lord in my life and I wasn't doing what I ought to do. And then I realized just how good God had been to me. And it just broke my heart, and I got right. Knowing not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but it can, and it should, and it will, if it's received and responded to correctly. The goodness of God that will lead you to repentance. What is that goodness this morning? Well, first of all, it's the goodness that's realized at the time. Can I ask you a question this morning? Just silently in your own heart, answer this question. Can you list some things that are God's goodness to you in your life right now, this morning? Could you? If we passed up a piece of paper and everybody in the auditorium today gave you a pen and say, give me 10 things. Give me 10 things that to you are God's goodness in your life. Could you even come up with 10? Could it come across your mind? Could you think of 10 things of God's goodness right now? Not someday, right now, today, this morning, God's goodness in your life today. I hope His mercy would be on that list, because let's face it, brother, His mercies are new every morning. Not just there every morning, they're new every morning. Not just around every morning, they're new every morning. Every morning, God's mercy is refreshed and ready and able and willing to be extended to us sinners saved by the grace of God. That's one. How about grace? How about the amazing grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You know, that grace, that's a sufficient grace. That's a saving grace. That's a sustaining grace. That's a grace that helps us, encourages us, strengthens us, provides us with needs, does more for us than we could ever do for God's grace. God's grace is amazing. Say, well, Pastor, I was kind of thinking more on the lines of, you know, another paycheck or a car or a thing or some material thing in my life. Hey, by the way, and if you've been blessed in that way, don't miss that either. That's fine. You know, we always, we preachers, we like to rail on the materialism and then pass the offering plates. You'll notice we pass the plate first. Never mind. But the truth is, it's always interesting to me. You know, people look at me. I'm not asking you to get my list this morning. I'm asking you for yours, your thoughts, your minds. See, because the thing about it is this. God's goodness is good to us every day. Every day, God is good. I'm sorry, this is not working. I said, let me check it.
Every day, God is good.
Okay, good. I was just checking. Maybe the battery went out on me or something like that. Oh, no, I forgot. This is a Baptist church. You know, the truth of the matter is, dear people, it's amazing to me. Hey, God is good every day of our lives. Every day he bestows goodness upon us. Every day our eyes open and we have sight. Every day our lungs breathe and we can pull in air. Every day we swing our leg over the bed and stand up in the morning. Every day God is good to us in our lives. We live in the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen. God is good to us. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, okay, and that reminded me. But see, that's the problem. See, look here, we just kind of go along with our lives like life is just going to always go on. We take the goodness of God for granted. We just step on over it, step on past it, walk right on by it, pay absolutely no attention to it whatsoever, and then we wonder why there's no attitude of repentance about us in anything in our lives. Well, no wonder sin doesn't bother us because goodness doesn't do anything to us. You talk about material things, and we talk about what we don't have instead of what we do have. We talk about blessings and mercies, and we talk about grace and mercy and forgiveness and all the wonderful things he bestows upon us. You know what we say? Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, sure. No, 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 not yeah, sure. Amazing. Knowing not that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. Look at Romans 2, verse 4 now. Look in your Bible there. There's no Pokemon thing, so just look at it for a second. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? Now look, riches of his goodness, words, and forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. My friends, you had mercy this week or you wouldn't be here today. We just go right past all this. No wonder the goodness of God doesn't lead some people to repentance. They don't even notice it. It's all around them in their life. It's there. They see it. They have it. And they say, well, I know I should pay better attention. No, you better do better than that. If you even stop for a moment and start racking up how good he is to you in your life and count it up, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. By the way, that old song's got great truth to it. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Rather than just say, oh, I'm blessed. No, I'm more than blessed. I'm blessed with mercy. I'm blessed with grace. I'm blessed with the love of God. I'm blessed with forgiveness. Oh, I'm blessed with salvation. I'm blessed with the Bible. I'm blessed with the church. I'm blessed with a wonderful wife. I'm blessed with children. I'm blessed with grandchildren. I'm blessed with health. I'm blessed with amazing country in which I live today. I'm blessed in my life. I'm so blessed, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not so sure I can contain myself any longer. It's that good. No, but we are, yeah, I know. Yeah, you know. You know what? The psalmist David, when one of the most difficult hours of his life, when everybody in his life turned on him and against him, David said this, Psalm 27:13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He didn't say he saw it. He said, I would have fainted. That means give up. Just give up. He said, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How could somebody in their darkest hour, how could someone in their darkest hour have such hope? I guess because he understood even when times are tough, God is still good. Huh? The book of Philippians in the Bible, four little simple chapters in your New Testament. All about joy and rejoicing, and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And statements like, he which hath begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That great book of Philippians of all this encouragement and blessing and rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. All this great stuff in Philippians written in prison. In prison, by Paul, waiting for them to come and cut his head off and execute him for being a Christian. Now, let me ask you a question. Does this man see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? Huh? Does he? Somehow he must have. How could he say rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say, and hey, when they put you in prison in those days, if your family, your people didn't come and feed you, you starved to death. And we've been working in prison. I've been working in prison and jail ministries in this country for my soul 35 years. A lot of these places are putting stinking country clubs. Pick out the movie on Friday night, get their meals delivered to them. It's unbelievable. It's like a hotel. And it's still a jail. There's nothing good. I'm not trying to glorify it. All I'm simply saying is this. In those days, if they didn't come feed you, you starved to death. So he's got to make it on scraps. Struggling every day just to know, and not know if he's going to die that day. They didn't give him an execution date. They just said, we're going to kill you. And that was all they did. So every day, with the door, he'd hear something. He'd think, are they going to kill me now? That's when he said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All this great encouragement we've read Philippians 4 that has encouraged our hearts was given by a man who had absolutely no reason to be encouraged except that the goodness of God was evident to him even in his most difficult hour. You getting it, friend? Are you figuring it out? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. If it's realized at the time, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance is also true if it's realized after, you know, later on. Have you ever looked back at something that didn't look good at that time and it was later on? Or maybe it's just me. Okay, let me help you with something this morning. Just checking. One, two people nodded their head. The rest of you, I figure, okay, either this sermon's already put you to sleep or it never happened to you this week. Now, if you like Fords, don't get upset with me, okay? You know I pick on Fords. It's just my life. It's what I do. I'm sorry. We rented a car. We're in Southern California. Go see our grandchildren. Rent a car. Now, I always do this whenever I go to a car rental place. Try it. It works. Be nice. That's one. Number two, I go up to the counter. I say, is this the place where when you rent a car, and if you say, I love Alamo, and you smile, they give you a free upgrade? Is this the one? 95% of the time, I get a free upgrade. I'm not kidding. I rented a mid-sized car. You have to get in it with a can opener. They go out, and the guy gives me my paperwork. I go out, and he goes, pick out whatever car you want. So I get one of these big premium SUVs, nice jobs. And it was a Ford. Brand new. Brand spanking new. And I get in this, oh, man, it's got the air-conditioned seats. It's got all the stuff. I mean, this is slick. I pull out of the rental place, Orange County Airport, pull out of the rental place, get on the 405, and it died. I just got up to 90. I mean, I just got up to 70, and it died. It just quit. And I went, uh-oh. And I'm mashing on the gas, and it's one of those stupid keyless things. You have to put your foot on the brake in park to get it to start. Not in the middle of the 405, you don't. I coasted off the side of the road. There's an exit right there, thank the Lord. Pulled off the side of the exit, stopped, put it in park, put my foot on the brake, started the engine, and it ran, and then it quit. And then it ran, then it quit. Then I waited a few minutes, and then it ran. I pulled in the parking lot. I called the rental guys. Hey, what are you going to do? They go, drive it back to, I said, it's dead. And I'm thinking, I got to wait 2 hours for them to send somebody out there with no brain to help me get this thing moving or bring me another car or something. I was being very nice to people. And I said, well, I'll try. And I went, turned the car, started running, got back on the freeway, headed back. With just a few minutes from the airport, drove it back on the freeway, died again, pull off the side of the road. My wife's saying, boy, you're going to have a lot of good illustrations about Fords. I said, ain't I though? And so did, got it running, finally got back to the car rental place, pulled it in and said, this thing just dies. I said, she said, oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Johnson. Here, pick out any car you want. I said, I'll take any that runs. Any car, luxury car, convertible car, pick out any car you want, and we'll knock a day's rental off, and we'll do all this kind of stuff. When I brought the car back, they didn't give me a rental agreement. I kept telling them, I need a rental agreement when I come back, or they're going to think I stole this car. And they said, oh, no, we got you in the system. You're good to go. I come back, and they go, where's your rental agreement? So I had to go back into the desk. They knocked another $50 off the car. I about got a three-day rental for nothing. You say, well, that was a big hassle. I said I got a three-day rental for nothing. Cost me like an hour. I told my wife, I said, let's go around the airport one more time come back and you cry whiplash or something and we'll own the company. I mean, it's unbelievable. But it didn't look like a blessing. I mean, I want to just, my grandchildren are waiting on me. I got to get to my grandkids and I got to keep getting rid of Fords. You know, it's unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. See, that doesn't look like a blessing. You still have a fit about that. We're just driving down the freeway and a car just quit on you. Okay, and I didn't get hit. Nobody ran me off the road. I got a better car out of the deal. I got a free car out of the deal. I got Ridley Scott out of the deal. I got all this stuff out of the deal. What you see is the problem instead of the blessing. What you don't do is you don't look back in your life and actually see that even in the valley, God is good. There was goodness there somewhere. Well, I had a problem with a runny nose, and I wound up going to the doctor and found something else. Well, you know what? If you didn't have that runny nose and went to the doctor, they wouldn't have found the other part. See, you don't see that. See, that's what I'm saying. Ladies and gentlemen, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. If we realize that even later on, even after the battle, even after the struggle, even after the difficulty, even after the valley, even after the loss, even after the troubles, we look back and we see the hand of an almighty God weaving down through all of that to put the strands of our life together. And then you know what it is? It's convicting. It's convicting to think that in the midst of my troubles, I couldn't trust God. It's convicting that when the battle was raging, I didn't see any help. When it was always there, I just didn't see it. And that leads you to repentance. So that the next time trouble comes, you go, remember that Ford we got? Huh? Huh? We got 2 days rental out of that deal, about a free car. That's not bad. Something good's coming. We live in a griping, complaining society. That if it doesn't go just the way you want, then that's it. Some of you folks, you're still ruined over something that happened to you as a child. And I'm not trying to make light of what happens to children in this day and age. You say, what could be possibly good about being hurt as a child, Pastor Johnson? Nothing good at the time. But later on, isn't it? Look here now. Isn't it good that you can help somebody in their hurt because of what you went through? You ought to read 2 Corinthians chapter 1 sometime. Huh? You comfort them with the comfort wherewith you were comforted. Huh? We all make that trip, right? We all go to that place, that cemetery. We go to that place, and we place a loved one's body there. Is there good there? Is that actually good? Could there be good coming out of someone who dies that we love? Is that a good thing? At the moment, doesn't seem like it, does it? Oh, but later on? Then when you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even those others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. Now all of a sudden that trip to the cemetery is just a reminder. Not too long now Jesus will come and we'll see them again and everything will be all right. Well, there's goodness to that. Don't you understand, Christian? It's not what happens to you that's the difference. It's how you deal with it. It's whether or not you can look back and later on see even the goodness of that. Growing up in a drunkard's home as a boy, was that good? No. Growing up in a home with a family where we saw 9 marriages between my mom and dad, is that good? No. Was it good to live here, wake up in another town, didn't even know how I got there? No. Was it good being beat by a drunk stepfather? No. Was there good in all that? No. Was there good in it later? Yes. Oh, yes. There are a lot of people going through that very same kind of stuff in their life, and guess what? There's a pastor who can help them and say, been there, done that, walk that road, and it'll be all right. God will be good. Everything will be fine. And the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Let me ask you a question this morning. How's the goodness of God memory bank? How's your account over there? How is it? Good? Filled to overflowing? Are you withdrawn, financially overdrawn? You got nothing when you look back on your life. But the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That's also realized when you see it in the lives of others. We live in a society today, if somebody else is blessed, we think we should get the same thing. Aren't you glad when somebody's blessed? I'm thankful. When I see somebody blessed, I think that's good. Some of you folks, people drive in the parking lot, they got a new car, and they think, well, you know, what do you mean, what? God, good. I hope it's not a Ford because he's down the freeway. But the truth of the matter, I'm sorry. Hey, truth of the matter is, whoa, wait a minute. What is that? Oh, so you got a new shoes. And even if they're ugly, people's tastes are different, you know. You notice that? Their tastes are different. I mean, it's hard not to look at someone and go, you paid for those? Hard-earned money? Okay. You ladies in your shoes, God bless you. No, seriously, God bless you. I am so glad I'm a man. Just from the ankles down, I'm glad I'm a man. I mean, look, number 12, Stacey Adams, I mean, come on, snakeskin, these things are very comfortable. Some of you ladies, God bless you. I don't even know how you walk in those things. Great. Someone gets a new hairdo. Some of us would just prefer the hair. But the truth is, what? Aren't you happy when somebody's blessed? Aren't you? Look at me. I said, aren't you happy when somebody is blessed? Now, you got to say amen in church, but the truth is, are you? But I am. I'm glad to see people that are blessed in their life. And I think to myself, well, wait a minute. I don't think, well, how come I don't get one of those? Well, I don't want that. So somebody gets a house bigger than yours. Do you want that? You couldn't even afford the taxes. What? Heat and cool that thing in the summertime? That's the way I look at it. People, they got a big, beautiful yard. Who does that? You want to be out there in a mower in 112? I'm glad you have it. Very glad. But the truth is, you see that? We are covetous people because we didn't get one. Why should they? I think God bless them. That's nice. I'm sorry. There's things that go through my mind I can't share from the pulpit. I don't take this the wrong way because wait a minute. God's telling me don't do it. Okay, never mind. Here we go. Only people I don't envy are skinny people. I don't envy skinny people. I'm sorry, I just don't. I'm glad you are, and I'm fully blessed. I have successfully defeated bulimia. Trust me, yes, totally. Anorexia is not one of my problems. Okay, anyway, do you see the hand of God? Do you see the hand of God in other people's lives, or do you think it should have been you? No, I'm just glad God blesses people. Does all God's goodness not lead you to repent of complaining? Do we really have anything to complain about? Now, we could come up with stuff, I know that, but I mean, do we really have anything to complain about? Look, we live in Redding, California, and they think it's a cool spell when it gets to the 90s. It's cooling off. Do we have anything to complain about? I was down in Southern California. It never got over 72. It got to 75, and they were dying in the heat. I said, shut up. Are you kidding me? Of course, it's 242 million people for every square inch. The truth of the matter is, dear people, don't you understand? Really, seriously, what do we really have to complain about? And don't start complaining. That's not what I'm saying. I'm simply saying God's goodness should lead us to repent of complaining. It should lead us to repent of indifference in our lives because we are so blessed in so many ways. Right now, looking back at my past, seeing the goodness of God in other people's lives, we are so blessed. I don't want to miss this. I don't want my sight to be gone to realize what a blessing it was to see. I don't want my hearing to be gone to be blessed to realize I could hear. And to walk and talk and live and see the world God has made for us. Nah. Maybe that's why so much of God's goodness is not evident in people's lives, because it's there and they don't even see it. They miss it. You hear me say it often, I'll say it one more time, and we'll wrap it up pretty quick here. Don't complain about having a job, okay? I'm sick and tired of going to work. Shut up. Shut up. You have a job. Don't complain about that. If you don't like it, then go get another one. But don't gripe about it. We've got nothing to complain about. God's goodness leads us. Oh my. Put a smile back on your old frowny face. Help you realize, man, even in the hard times, the song says, God is good. Even when it's difficult, God is good. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. And let me ask you a question, first of all, today. Question. Do you know that you have eternal life and that heaven is your home? Do you know that? Without a doubt now, without a question in your mind. So certain of eternal life that God forbid you to leave this place, step out there, and be pushed out into eternity today. And it happens. All across our news headlines, we see people who went to work, went about their day, and didn't come home. That happens. Do you have that certainty of eternal life? And is that certainty based on God's word? Now, that's the key. We got people who are confident about eternal life, but they're not biblical about it. You better know for sure, and you better make certain it's God's word that gives you that certainty.